is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Hello, how are you doing today? It's Disaster Recovery Hour, and that is right. I am your host, Chris Plunkett. Every Tuesday between 1 and 2 here at WVNJ 1160. We had that music going on a little bit, the heavy bass going. I don't know, I kind of like the music. WVNJ 1160 AM, The Voice. Like I said, every Tuesday between 1 and 2 p.m. Just want to recap a little bit about last week with Starry Penn with Miles Maiden. You know, go on, you should check out the website. We had some good comments on the comments page about Starry Penn. You know, whenever you can convert dirty water, not really super hazardous water, but you can get it on the fly with under a minute. You know, you can get a good 32 ounces of drinkable water. That's a product that should be probably in everybody's home. Again, it wasn't a paid advertisement interview last week. I came across it through the social media, and I thought it was very interesting considering the government officials are, are advocating getting a kit and being prepared in case of an emergency. So having something like that is very key. And then on top of having, in your basements or closets, whatever, some storage areas for, you know, backup water. So, you should get those 5-gallon drugs of water. So Miles was an interesting guy. like I said, he's the CEO and the inventor of Starry Penn with the water filtration system. He's going to come back, I think, in about a month or so, because I wanted to talk about, you know, you can use it when you're going camping. You can use it in the urban areas. But what are the pitfalls? What are the red flags? You know, I'm always a catch-22. You know, if it's a good product, but people are negative and they want to know, okay, what if this happens to it? So I think we should expect my interview. Very informative, and will be really a consultant to the show from now or from last week into the future, is Lieutenant Steve Lindner from the Hackensack Fire Department. He's the PIO, as he's classified as. That is the Public Information Officer. It's amazing that he and I were talking about, you know, do you get that because you're a good communicator and you know, you're able to manage men on a scene and so on and so forth. Does that title get put on you and labeled as? And he's like, no, there's actually schooling involved with that. So they go up to the fire safety up there in Bergen County, the Fire and Police Academy, and they go through numerous classes for that. And he's been in the paper, he's been on the news, and then the news bits, you know, from the metropolitan area. New York City encompasses Long Island, Westchester, and so on and so forth. So a lot of things that were said by Steve are everyday common sense type of stuff, and other stuff are you stop and you think like, I didn't think about that. And but he's a big advocate on fire prevention. And listen, these guys are firemen. They're out there. They're paid to go out there, and whether paid or volunteer doesn't matter. But their job is to preserve life and safety. And if they can do that beforehand, again, that's what this show is about the disasters and preparing for disasters. And if the disasters do happen, what will you do after the fact? And what we call in the insurance world, it, mitigating further damage, if you will. And as most property owners, business and personal, you're not supposed to leave your stuff there just all burnt up and all wet from floods or Irene. And I'm not really talking about Irene today, but except for this one little tidbit, there's plenty of people who have done nothing with their homes. They're still waiting for FEMA to show up, and that's really the wrong road to take. Now that's developed into this whole mold thing, and you know what Bruce Wolf was talking about a couple of weeks ago from Garden State Environmental. You can do things to help yourself out. You don't need to be a professional mold remediator, which I am. Now, that's a little plug for myself. But there's things that you can do to prevent further growth and further damage. So I'm kind of a little bit all over the place. You know, last week's guest and Bruce and today's guest is from the ACP here in the Jersey, the Garden State, and also at the other part of our program. We'll have Chris Green on. You know Chris Green. He's an advisor to the program. Chris is located in the D.C. area, and he talks about some of the he works for a private business that assists the government with protocols and emergencies, and's been fluid in many different dangerous case scenarios, and also live action boots on the ground. He's a first responder, and he's also he'd been over in both our war theaters, if you will. So we got a really amped up program today. But I will make our official announcement. the radio program, not the station, but my show, the Disaster Recovery Hour, has formally partnered up with the ACP International, that is Association of Contingency Planners. There are 43 chapters throughout the United States, and our mission going forward is to assist businesses, and we're also going to try to, and this is going to be from my end, I'm going to try to simulate into the home ownership of being prepared. I mean, we've been talking about it for the last year, and it's all on the website with tips and tools and government agency and numbers for you to call for these homeowners. But we're going to try to drive our message, the ACP message, into also the residential side of it. ACP is, as right now and still moving forward, we're going to be talking about business continuity. Business continuity is important because bottom line is that's where the tax revenue is. Keeping people up and running is muy importante to the government, and the government is not able to keep that person up and running. They're going to have to have some form of plan in place. And that's what the ACP is about. They're on the consulting side. They're on to assist business owners to come in and also be part of the organization. Joining is a big thing. I mean, the networking is very heavily involved with helping people out. I've become a member, and it's already helped me with my understanding of when I handle fires and floods and other type of disasters that affect businesses. I am now having the education. Have the education that I can actually talk about in different areas of these business owners. Of are they protected in these certain areas? Do they have this in place? Or if they don't have this in place, this is what you want to consider about doing when you crack open your doors again to start generating money. And it comes across to all the boards. It could be the retail side. It could be could be just a service business. It could be, you're selling, like I said, retail, whatever, food stores, Kings, ShopRites, those, and the malls also. It's funny, you rent space inside a mall and you think the mall's going to be taking care of you when things go awry. But, malls have issues. They have leaky buildings, and sometimes, unfortunately, they have fires. But you know what? Inside your space, more times than not, you're responsible for that inside the space, especially if you built it yourself. So those are the things that the ACP is trying to get the message out, and the government is leaning on the ACP now. So they're looking for a private sector to assist the public sector, because the government can't do everything. It's, we've really come in the last 10 years, it's really come to fruition about, there's no Daddy Warbucks anymore. So taking care of ourselves for the time being until all the troops can be rounded up and a game plan set forth. So again, it's a broken record, but we've had people call in web questions saying, you do repeat, but you got to say it constantly. And it's one of the things I was telling my son the other day about his keys getting into the house. He's got his keys, had to go in the back room, and blah 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 blah. Long story short, didn't have his keys, but he's a little guy, so I understand that. So we let him slide on that. But let's go to a break, pay a couple bills, and we'll be right back.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
In the early hours after the tsunami, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. When Florida was ripped by hurricanes, the hams were there. In the critical moments after the attack of 9/11, it was the hams who coordinated emergency messages. When disasters strike, the hams are ready. Ham radio works when other communications don't. To learn how you can become a ham radio operator, call the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, at 1-800-326-3942.
The money is all dried up, and the work is all gone. Don't want to go to the mailbox, don't want to answer the phone. Did I mention my baby left me? They're foreclosing on my
Attorney Michael Guidreau is the cure for your bankruptcy blues. With a bankruptcy success rate of nearly 100%, Michael Guidreau is an expert in bankruptcy, credit card settlement, and loan modification. For a consultation, call 201-837-7777. 201-837-7777. Call today and get rid of your bankruptcy blues.
Welcome back, Disaster Recovery Hour. Your host, Chris Plunkett, every Tuesday between 1 and 2 p.m. WVNJ 1160 a.m. The Voice. The website and the comments page, if you want to put something up, is drhradio.net. That is drhradio.net. One more time, drhradio.net. One thing I did forget. One of the things I came across that kind of a recap, some of my paperwork, is... Well, you know what? We're going to say that for the end of the show. Well, you know what? That's what we'll do. We'll say that for the end of the show. My next guest, because we signed off with ACP before we went to the commercial break, and I want to keep that fluid, if you will. You know, I'm still learning at this the radio thing. But Stan Karlstad is my guest today. Stan is the president of the Garden State chapter of ACP. He's the equivalent for the Garden State side, as Andy Weitzberg is for the Long Island chapter. We haven't yet had the New York chapter president on yet, and we will in the next month or so, along with other ACP chapter presidents. Stan is a business continuity professional. He's been in the business for quite a while, but he started out there with the AT&T with Bell Labs, and he was part of the continuity planning for there. And I could go on and on, but I'm going to let Stan talk about it. Stan, you there?
Yes, I am. Good afternoon, Chris.
How are you, Stan?
Excellent. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate that very much.
No. My pleasure. Ann and I were talking about, you know, we're get things in order, and I said, you know, what about my, you know, I live in Jersey, you know, so where's my president, you know?
Oh, you admit that you live in New Jersey.
Yeah, that's okay. Right. That's right. I don't care what they say. Thank God we got bulletproof glass here. Stan, I was doing the makeup of you and your BG for you. Business continuity professional, been doing it a long time. Also includes the Disaster Recovery Institute internationally. Since I've been doing the show and I've met the ACP, introduced the ACP, and now a member and also a partner in our future message giving out there. I don't think the ACP hasn't gotten, or business continuity has not gotten the love, I should say, that it really should, because, you know, when I was thinking about AT&T, you know, you talk about 30, 40, 50,000 employees there, you know, those are paychecks. That place goes out of business for 2 or 3 days. People don't get paychecks. So, you know, it's a message, and it's a real live thing that you can touch and you can taste, you can eat. You know, it's out there, and you know, you, myself, Andy, and more of the other presidents, we need to talk about this.
I agree most wholeheartedly, yes.
You know, so Stan, talk about the Garden State. You know, there's only one chapter in the state. We're the most heavily dense populated state in the Union. There were some good facts I saw over there.
And the highest taxes.
I know. That's why I have several jobs. I want to talk about the Garden State. I want to talk about the membership. I want to talk about what's different on this side of the river opposed over there in Westchester. We talked in the city and Long Island. The Garden State, it's got a different kind of makeup out here. And why don't you start from the beginning with that?
Oh, yes. Thank you. And as you mentioned, Chris, in the metropolitan area, there's a number of ACP chapters. The Long Island chapter with Andy in charge out there, New York City Metro with Andy Smith,
Liberty
Valley near Philadelphia, and us, the Garden State chapter in central and northern New Jersey. And we've our chapter here at Garden State has been in effect for about, I think we're in our seventh year now. We have between 65 and 70 members from all over the state of New Jersey, working for Fortune 500 companies, a lot of independent consultants, and all major industries. So we have a really good mix of membership in the Garden State chapter. We have a board of directors that's comprised of about 11 people. Board meetings twice a month to keep this. People don't realize what it takes to keep a chapter running and planning for events. We have a very good board of directors. We have chapter meetings, which are held right now. We hold them every other month, six times during a year. We have them most of the time hosted at major companies in New Jersey, such as AT&T, Educational Testing Services, Princeton University, Ernst & Young. One of my favorites is NJIT, the Institute of Technology in Newark. And at these meetings, they go on for 3 to 4 hours in length. We try to have a free lunch for everyone. We kick it off with a lunch and a networking half hour or so. We try to have two or three guest speakers at these meetings, and I guess the name of it all is networking with all of our peer levels that are in the industry, and it's a huge help to me and most of our members in doing that.
When people think of the networking groups or the conferences, it's like, oh, I'm going to a conference. There's always that kind of like that negative connotation hooked into that, which what I liked when I did the ACP and was that it's a very – you're still there, Stan?
Yes, oh, yeah, I am, yeah. Yes.
It's I'm sorry, I heard something in my ear. It's a very tangible thing. I mean, it's not really advice as much as these are facts. I mean, ACP is backed up with facts about this is what happens if you don't do X in your business. This is what happens if you don't do Y in your business. And generally, it equates to not being in business and losing revenue. And that's what I was attracted to about. It really has something. It's a really do good, if you will. I don't want to simplify the association by saying that, but it is. It's about keeping the fellow, really our American citizens, up and running in business. And let's call it what it is. We get up every day to go to work. We want to go to work. It's what we do. Some people don't. They can sit on the couch, and good for them. But the majority of us get up to go to work, and they enjoy going to work. And that's one of the things I love about the ACP. But the Jersey chapter, I mean, we have more Fortune 500 companies. I believe this is a true fact. Not that I'm lying here, in New Jersey than anywhere else in the country. You know, so and we have Fortune 500 companies that are members of the Garden State chapter of ACP. I mean, that's outstanding.
Yes, most definitely. And there's other interesting entities within the state of New Jersey, as well as just the Fortune 500 companies, such as the Port Authority of New York, New Jersey, in particular Newark Airport. They have some fantastic disaster drills that they hold internally each year at Newark Airport, and they've invited our chapter members on a limited basis for a couple of years to observe or participate in those exercises, actually using a 747 airplane loaned to them by Continental Airlines, FBI SWAT teams from Washington, D.C. are there, hostage situation, very interesting things. We also have had a chapter meeting at the Morris County, New Jersey Fire Academy, which is a really interesting place. They have a state-of-the-art a fire simulator facility there. Firefighters from all over Morris County train there. Police officers train there. There's an indoor firing range, which the New Jersey State Police use for certification. And their county 911 facility is there. And we had the opportunity at our chapter meeting there to stand in their 911 area and listen and watch the 911 technicians taking calls in and seeing how that operates. It's super impressive. They have three screens in front of them, and when a call comes in, that technician knows, it shows the street, the house, all sorts of information that flags up on these screens for them to help whoever is in trouble. So our chapter, I think, we do a well-rounded venue of things.
Yeah, you know, if you just joined us, a Disaster Recovery Hour, your host Chris Plunkett on the phone with me today is Stan Kahlstad. Stan is the Garden State chapter of the ACP. He is the president, and we're talking about the ACP in the state, and that's what I liked what you just talked about, Stan, is, you know what, that's a real touchy-feely thing. I mean, you get that because the government in the last X amount of years have now started private, is starting to get into the, I mean, public is starting to lean on the private. And that's where, you know, when, you know, the consulting end of it is huge. And now they're saying, listen, this, we're going to bring you out. We're going to show you, we're going to show you a 911 call center. And this is what happens when this happens. Now, do you, as we talk to our fellow members, you can implement that. I can implement that. The show can implement that and saying, okay, this is what actually happens when your building is on fire, X amount of minutes, or who's in command. There's an OEM director, commander involved, and the local fire chief is usually the man on the scene who's calling that scene. All that stuff ties in. I mean, that's real stuff. That's real life stuff, right?
That's very meaningful, yes, to our everyday jobs, yes.
Now, the municipality end of it, you know, you have the state police, you have a county. Municipality end of it. 566 municipalities in the United States, in New Jersey. I think we have more towns also than anybody else in any other states too. Crazy little old Jersey with 566 towns. Municipality wise, talk about that, because I know some of them you've been in, you're getting involved with them and have been in the past.
Well, I believe the biggest effort with municipalities is directed and run by the state police Emergency Operations Center in Trenton in New Jersey. They have a huge facility there, state-of-the-art facility.
Yeah, I've seen it, The Rock.
The Rock,
very
yes.
Impressive, yeah.
A very, very impressive place. Reminds me of the old AT&T site that used to be up in Bedminster in New Jersey that controlled and showed all of the AT&T infrastructure throughout the world and what was going on everywhere. But the Rock in Trenton has a very good program where they invite all of the municipalities throughout the state of New Jersey to participate in programs and preparing for local disasters and what to expect for assistance from the state, from the federal government, and what the local municipalities can do in preparing themselves. So that's the Rock is a wonderful extension for that.
It, you know, with Rick Gimble, who's the OEM director in the township of Islip, which is 300, he's in control of 300 some odd thousand people, and along with the airport out there. You know, he came from FDNY. He came, you know, he was on the public side, if you will. And saw, not I shouldn't say saw the light, but Andy was saying, you know, Rick was very instrumental on trying to get both sides to start to lean on each other and feed off each other. And for the Rock and for the state police, what you guys, what the ACP here in Jersey is doing, that's information I didn't have before. That's very cool. Now, with the municipality end of it, the invites, do you find, say, a local municipality business administrators, because I know they all, every town has one, are they leaning on or asking for assistance regarding their tax base, if you will, their little mom and pop stores?
That's a good question. I think a very good number of municipalities in New Jersey do use the ROC as their major source for planning for local disasters. I think that's the main entity or main source. There are, as I've been told, there are municipalities that don't participate, but a good majority do.
Yeah. Let's go to. I got this one question that would actually came in over this past week regarding ACP, and it was what I'm driving about this municipality thing is, you know, you have 566 of them. Do ACP members or you for example, would you go speak to, you know, an open forum inside a municipality, like some business owners will come in and talk about insurance and things like that? Does the ACP get involved like that?
Yes, we our chapter has been invited a number of times to speak in front of various some pretty interesting groups that we thought would were never interested in disaster recovery or business continuity. So if any municipality, small business is interested in a guest speaker from our ACP chapter at one of their meetings or venues, they can most assuredly contact us, and we'll be happy to do that.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I want to. we'll have that information up on the website. Let's go to a break, a couple minutes, pay some bills, and be right back with Stan.
Disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need answers. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP is the answer. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP is a full-service emergency services and restoration company. With 25 years of experience in emergency management and restoration, our seasoned team of skilled professionals is ready to assess damages and restore your property to its pre-loss condition.
Who do I call first? What about insurance? Is it safe to stay here? What do I do next?
Fire, smoke, water, or mold, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP restores your property and your peace of mind. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com. cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
I know it's tough to hear me with this firefighter's air pack on, but it's the only way I can be in this smoldering pile of ashes that was my office. And I could get in trouble, but I hope you won't make the same mistake I did, since at least one in four businesses that suffer this type of loss never reopen. So here goes. Just 3 days ago, we sat in this melted wreck of what used to be a conference room, talking about how good things were. Over there was the tech room. The fire's bad enough, but the water damage really gets me. Look, here's an article describing us as visionaries. I should have done our disaster plan, but with everything else, I just didn't see this coming. Visionaries, huh? Well, the good news is, at least the ashes can't burn down.
There'll always be a few fires to put out around the office, unless it's not around anymore. But when you have a disaster plan, you can adapt, recover, and stay in control. Go to Ready.gov and make your company's plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated. a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
Hey, Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunk. I didn't mean to say hey. I didn't mean to scare you. You guys sleeping on me out there. Stan, you know, AT&T is a monster in this in New Jersey, and I know you were part of their implementation of the emergency electrical power risk assessment process. You know, everything you're driven by electricity. Obviously, I'm not saying anything that's not some epiphany I'm having here, but. But with that said, I mean, with all the amount of people and that work there, power is huge. And one of the things that this is a question for you, as because I don't know the answer, ACP, are they involved in the secondary power backup systems in part of the continuity of business?
Good question, and you've hit on a really important aspect of disaster recovery. Business continuity, Chris. Disaster planners in any company should really focus on electrical power. I followed with my old boss at AT&T, we followed statistics, yearly statistics, for the past 15 to 20 years on what is the largest, biggest cause of disasters in the business world in the United States. And every single year, the biggest cause of disasters is electrical power. It's either a failure of generators to start, a failure of them to maintain power, some problem within the electrical infrastructure in a critical asset, such as a call center or a computer center.
Right.
And I always preach to all of my peer levels that when we first started looking at that and learning about it, I was afraid of electricity. I never looked at it as a DR person. And with a little investigation, that's an area that everyone in a DR world should look at and doing plans, et cetera.
Man, you know, because just a couple of days with a fairly sorry, let's just say 100 employees, let's say a plant here in Karlstad or out on the island, they got some big warehousing, processing, manufacturing. You know, 1 or 2 days out of business because of no power, you know, your business interruption insurance has to kick in. But then you're talking thousands, tens of thousands of dollars in payroll and lost product. When you really could have, you know, the backup system, you know, or somebody monitoring that at least once a quarter, just taking a peek at, hey, where are we at with our electrical, you know, phones, you know, there's a lot of, you know, it's a no-brainer, and only because I'm in the business. Stan, I got a question. Well, not really a question. It is a question from the lawyer. She's from Florida and says, are there any Florida chapters? I believe there are. But I'll expand on that in a second, but your information is very informative and I'd like to see more of it in Florida. Now, I know there's a couple of branches in Florida. Stan, are you aware, do you know the presidents down there at all?
There are chapters in Florida, and I participate in a monthly call of all the presidents of all the ACP chapters. We have a big one-hour conference call once a month. And to find if there's a chapter anywhere, not just Florida, in the U.S., one just has to go out to the acp-international.com website, and there's a locator there, and it says find a chapter, and you just type in your a zip code, and it will show you 10 to 20 chapters within your area. So I think that would be a good one to how to find something in Florida or anywhere else.
Yeah, I mean, I worked the hurricanes coming up on 6 years ago, I think, or 7 years ago at this point. And most of my, I had two residential complexes, and the rest of, I think, about 50 or 60 types of businesses, from small to large, bagels place to a pizza place to, you know, a retail store that sells, you know, women's clothing. And and being that, you know, these, you know, unfortunately, hurricanes come in and they blow you out. You know, where do you go from there? Where do you start? But, you know, when you have a plan, you know, you can take the proverbial book out and say, okay, this is what happened, so let me start from the beginning. Because if you try to just eat that whole cow by yourself, you know, you're in trouble. So, Stan, I appreciate you taking the time out of a busy day, and we'll forge our relationship further, solidify that further down the road, because I am in the Garden State, and as well as you are. And just one more time, Stan, regarding that question, anybody wants to get the ACB, I know how to do it, but let's hear from a president of the Garden State chapter say it.
Out on the web, it's very simple. It's acp-international.com, and there's a header there. Find a chapter. I see Jacksonville, Southeast Florida. There's at least two chapters in Florida.
And next time you come on, Stan, I want to talk about the, because we just had Irene come into town, I want to talk about the southern part of Jersey and that area that I know belongs to the Liberty chapter, out of the Philadelphia area and the Delaware area. But talk about the coast, you know, a lot of mom and pop stores down there, and wondering if us as ACP members are talking or they're trying to get involved in the ACP. So I appreciate, Stan. Thanks. Enjoy the rest of the Tuesday, and I'll talk to you soon. Thanks a lot, Stan.
Thank you, Chris. We appreciate your program very, very much.
I appreciate it. Thanks, man. Take care of yourself.
Bye now.
All right. We're just going to keep on rolling. We're not going to a break. I do have a returning guest. He is he's an advisor to this program. Very important. A good friend of mine now. Chris, you there?
I absolutely am. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm good. It's Chris Green. Chris has his bio is up on the website. most people, while they're sleeping at night, Chris is not sleeping at night. He's thinking about things. He's talking with people. Chris works in the D.C. area and protocols for the armed services. You know what? There's so much that my head is spinning on it. Not to, I know, and I just want them to look at the website, drhradio.net. They can look at Chris's extensive bio. I got Chris on today, like I've had him on other things, because the present-day issues come up, and I'm saying, you know what? I know somebody who knows this and who's heavily entrenched in this. And this is 10 years now, another anniversary, an unfortunate anniversary, is anthrax. Now, we just came from ACP. We're talking about business continuity. We're making a big turn here, but the anthrax, which you were involved with,
yes,
came out of the Jersey area.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things, you know, I mean, just thinking back 10 years ago, you know, this week was when we rolled some large teams out to do a lot of stuff. We had Boca Raton, the Hart Building, Brentwood, Hamilton, the incidents up in New York City, Kansas City. I mean, it's just a huge cascading effect, a very broad and you know, wide sweeping effect from what a lot of people termed as one to two letters, or, you know, some other folks in the intelligence community thought was a fairly large attack that happened. So it was fairly large consequences that we had to deal with 10 years ago.
Yeah, you know, a month after 9/11, so it's just, is this a bad dream? When am I going to wake up kind of scenario for people to be thinking about it? And, you know, now it's 10 years later, you know, the towers and Pennsylvania and D.C. getting attacked. I mean, people talk about it, the government talks about it, but, you know, these other types of attacks are more going to be something that is being looked at, and you guys are moving forward and preventing it. It really needs to be, you know, spoken about. I don't think it should be, you know, rammed down anybody's throat. But, what, you know, you were there, you were boots on the ground. From there on, you've learned many lessons.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we learned a lot of lessons doing it. You know, of course, that's the great learning factor is, hey, okay, we haven't really responded this large, this type of an incident. And, you know, some people, you know, I know some of the first people that were there who really started seeing the samples come back and how much was actually out there, and the limited personal protective equipment that we were actually using in the very beginning, you know, they were freaking out. So really, you know, all we were leaning on was a prophylaxis, was just taking large doses of Cipro every day to protect us from the contaminated environment that we were going into. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of undealt with psychological effects from that time, both from, you know, the towers and D.C. And the anthrax attack. Just think about all the postal workers that know they were exposed.
Right. The Hamilton has, what, anywhere from 8,000 to 10,000 people working in the 24-hour shifts.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, the processing center with the mail. And, you know, it's just another thing that we have to deal with. And, you know, people are saying, you know, I know people talk about, you know, overall the government says, are we ready for this or are we ready for that? And Stan made a good point about being taken down in the New Jersey State Police, the Rock, where their command center is, about all this drilling. And we are doing all those types of things. You know, there is drilling going on, and you're in the forefront of it. You know, are some of our lessons that are learned from anthrax. I know it sounds crazy. It's like the disaster recovery hour where we talk about anthrax. You know, but it's the world we live in. This is, you know, just like hurricanes. That's natural disaster. This is man-made. Where do you see going?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think you made a great point. Why are we talking about this in disaster recovery hour? Why is continuity an issue? You know, we had some casualties. We had, what, basically 5 casualties that were attributed to the anthrax attack. But what did it really do? It scared people, but it denied us the use of the facilities that it was exposed in for years. The Hart Building, you know, was, what, 8 months before it was finally fumigated. Hamilton was, what, 3 years? 2 years?
Right.
2 years. Same thing with Brentwood, et cetera, et cetera. It denied assets. It denied, you know, territory, and it denied capabilities for a long time. Plus, it kept a lot of people tied up, cleaning it up, you know, investigating it. And it was extremely costly. The EPA report that finally came out to the GAO said one number, and I think if you add, you know, if you multiply that by 10, it probably is a true cost that came out. I mean, you're talking $50 to $100 million worth of cost.
And just you know, where's that money coming from? Obviously, it comes from us. And we're gonna go to a break, Chris. You're gonna stay with us so we can further the discussion. Let's hit it, and we'll come right back with Chris.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
Kate Valentine's UFO Show, launching strange visitors that come and go. The UFO Show with Kate Valentine. We're gonna travel through space and rocket through time, exploring what is possible, examining what is logical. Could we really be here all alone?
Are we really out here all alone? Find out on the UFO Show with Kate Valentine. Friday afternoons at 1 on WVNJ.
At least one in four businesses affected by a disaster never reopen. Let me repeat. At least one in four businesses affected by a disaster, whether it's man-made or natural, never reopen. Yet far too many business owners put off their company's disaster.
You have five new
messages. Can you sign it for me, please?
Don't forget those copies for the presentation.
Disaster plan because they let too many day-to-day things get in the way.
Is that 3 p.m. going to be all right with your schedule?
Hey, don't forget that. Stanton proposes due.
Be in the conference room in 5 minutes, please.
To save your messages, press 1.
Receive dispatch. Truck 47 en route to 614 North Front Street.
Received. Be advised, truck 47. Heavy fire showing from the ninth floor. Second alarm being dispatched at this time.
Disasters are unpredictable, but when you have a plan in place, you can better adapt, recover, and stay in control. So don't wait. Visit ready.gov to make your company's disaster plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, Disaster Recovery Hour. On the phone is a good friend and a consultant to this program, wealth of knowledge, Chris Green. Chris, you know, you said it too with the ACP contingency planning. So, like the Hamilton getting shut down for that many years, what's the collateral damage business wise? Those people, the delis, the pizzerias, the bagels, the coffee shops that don't open because there's no more money coming in because there's no people in that facility.
Yeah, absolutely, and the little gun shop across the street shut down too. So,
okay, I'm part of Service Master, great organization. You do property disaster cleanup, so on and so forth. Now we're talking about anthrax, but you know, again, it's something that's part of our daily lives now. And it's not going away anytime soon. We're not going to eradicate these crazy people coming after us. So, learning our lessons from the anthrax, I think the American people should know that the business is being taken care of because we learn from that.
Oh, sure, absolutely, and we plan, train and equip and man our capabilities, based on these large scenarios. Right now the big scenario we're working is pan flu and a radiological incident, a radiological dispersion device. So we rotate around through all these exercises that we go through to make sure we cover all the bases. So if we can cover a large hurricane or a large pandemic influenza outbreak, then we can cover these other things. So if we build capabilities for these large-scale events, these instances, these emergencies, and then we can tailor those back to handle small outbreaks or small emergencies as they happen. So,
it's got to be, for you being on the front line of coming up with the so-called, not so-called, but protocols and such like that to assist our government, with these cutbacks, there's some things you just can't cut back. And these are one of us. DHS has a very large employed population with public and private, and you're still dealing with the egos that we talked about with 9/11 back in the day. So it's navigation's got to be more difficult than ever.
It is, and then we have Presidential Policy Directive 8 that comes out that calls for a one of nation response and really pushes a lot of onus for the short and long term response and recovery efforts out to the states, to the local communities, and to the private entities, the businesses, to take some responsibility for themselves. You can't always wait for the government to show up, with the white cowboy hat on to save the day, because there's massive cutbacks. I mean, the budget information that I'm seeing coming through right now is huge, massive cuts in spending.
Yeah, I said it to my wife a couple of weeks ago that we really are living in the same time at the 30s with the Depression. It's just that we produce, well, we don't really produce that much, but we have so much wealth, it doesn't seem as impact as it did there with the bread lines and such. But it's devastating, and our government is trying to do more with less.
Absolutely, and so we're trying to be smarter about things. We are cutting out some exercises. We are going back through the whole equipment list that we fielded to different military units, to the some military hospitals, et cetera, that are out there. Go, do we really need all this stuff? Because we fielded it when things were flush with money. Mm-hmm. Now we have a logistics tail to it that every year we have to calibrate it. We have to make sure it works. We have to send in preventive maintenance, and some of these single items can cost up to $3,000 a year just to make sure it's calibrated correctly.
Yeah. and that's a T&M time materials, and eats into the tax base. That what are we doing with some of our money? Do you see? I mean, you're on the private side. You really have the proverbial bird's eye view of having the intel come in from the public, and then you being on the private. Do you see? One of the questions that came in on the web was to me and to Stan about more people looking to ACP. Do you see more of the government starting to say, listen, local municipalities or the local state guys or the companies in the ACP world, you need to do this because we're not going to be here?
I think that message is getting out there, and that's why you have ready.gov and you have all these things trying to promote without dictating, without, because we are in a republic, we're in a democracy here, and we're not going to tell or require
right.
a lot of this stuff. FEMA doesn't have regs. FEMA says you have to do these things if you want to get money from us.
Mm-hmm.
So that they have compliance through the checkbook.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now, for normal businesses, there's not a requirement. Hey, you have to do this. However, for the military industrial base, there has been some requirements put out there. So for industries and businesses supplying really fairly specialized goods and services to the government, there are things that they have to do to be able to bid and win that contract and provide those services. So we're tightening up what we're doing out there a lot as far as continuity. I know the command I work out just went through a fairly large coup process, rewrote the instruction, and started to exercise it. And it's a huge process determining what your mission essential functions are, who your key essential personnel are, where we're going to go, how do we exercise this, and it's a lot of weeding, getting down in the weeds and figuring out who do we actually need to perform this, who has to be at the locations, and who can telework. And then you have to lean back on the whole the IT infrastructure to be able to support all that. It's a massive effort.
Yeah, I mean, I was just, thinking while you were saying the IT end of it, the other day, something came through bad blogging, something through Twitter, and I'm just before you knew it, within the 24 hours, it was everywhere that there were bad blogs about this person and about me and about it was, and it was being from somewhere else or around the planet. The IT end of it's got to be enormous.
It is. Yeah.
The policing end of it. I mean, I'm not going to ask you, the money disbursement of it, but there's so much more now with the technology and the social media that comes into play instead of regular boots on the ground, guns and bullets.
Absolutely. What is it, about 90% of the military supports the 10% that are actual trigger pullers? If anyone has children that are graduating college or needs to find a job, if you get into cybersecurity, I mean, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of jobs up in D.C. looking for folks that can do cybersecurity. It's huge, and it's not going away, and it's the way of the future. And we have to be able, we need the technology. We need to harness that technology, but we also need to protect and secure it.
Yeah. Always a pleasure. Anything, any sign-off that we should talk about besides our horrible situation with our wars, bringing home our troops? bringing home people safe and alive, that's for sure. Any last words on before we rock and roll?
Well, I mean, the big thing is, be prepared, and if you see something, say something. That's the big part. If you see something that's out of the norm, if something doesn't feel right, if your spidey sense is tingling, tell somebody. Tell a police officer, tell somebody. and that's the way we can help protect all of our friends, our families, and our communities.
Yeah. Bro, I appreciate it. I'll talk to you probably in another day or so, like I always do, and be safe, and I'll talk to you in a couple days.
Thanks for all you do, Chris. Really appreciate it, and God bless.
You too. Take care. Chris is always, you know, I met him a couple months ago and hit it off right away. It's kind of get the, you know, he's higher scale than I am. I'm just the guy who does property, but you know, for me, I look at Chris and we talk, and there's you know, it all gets broken down into little bites, little pieces that we as municipalities and out on the island of Westchester, you know, the city's got its own little world, and they got so much stuff over there and people are coverage, and so when it comes to property over there, you know that the city's got you know, DOE and the Department of Transportation and the NYPD and the fire department. There's just so many entities over there that are taking care of the New York citizens and all outer boroughs. But for me, you know, we got the Jersey and then with Westchester and Long Island. You know, we're little enclaves of towns. Could be 5,000 people, could be 50,000 people or 100,000 people. But, you know, again, what Chris is talking about, you know, see something, say something. But it also goes down to, you know, kind of like home rule kind of thing. If, you know, the municipalities, the government is driving in that direction of, you know, I think smaller is better because there's no more dollars anymore. And this is my opinion. But it's getting out there where be self-sustainable for a period of time, and you know, and have your plan in place, and also your plan for your family, and that also matriculates right over to your business. You know, have a business plan. You want to be up and running. And I'll tell you, you know what, I've said it a couple of times before. You know, I go to the same place for coffee, you know, the same couple of places for coffee. I drink tea, but the point being is, you know, there's a comfort zone. People are always doing their habits. They put the watch on the same side. They shave the same side, start on the same side. So I do have a quick question. It's from Martin. With all the government cutbacks, I know that's another one. The cutbacks Mr. Green is talking about, what does he see will be different for businesses, and what should we be gearing up for? Phil, I'll have Chris reply to you directly after the show. I'll give him a call. And like I said, I'll just have him reply directly. Like I said, he's well versed in the public and the private sector of business continuity and disaster preparedness. Another good show. I want to thank my guest. Like I just said, it was just Chris, and also Stan Kahlstadt, which is the chapter president, the Garden State chapter of ACP. Listen, that's going to be, you know, it's the driving force of the program. We're going to be getting entrenched into the winter months, so we're going to start talking about preparing for the winter months with gutters and trees and protecting your pipes, exteriors, and things like that. So let's let that heavy bass start playing. God bless our country. Let's bring home our troops safely and be safe, and we'll talk to you soon.